So the ultimate question of is life possible in our galaxy may have already been answered by a spacecraft called Kepler, named for the man who calculated how the planets in our solar system move. The Kepler spacecraft, according to NASA, has identified 135 confirmed planets and calculated the movements of more than 3,500 possible planets, but its search is over for now due to a malfunction. Matthew Holman is a Smithsonian astrophysicist and lecturer at Harvard University. He joins us now. The Kepler spacecraft, pretty close to your heart. Is that right, Matthew?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a sad day that Kepler is basically finished.
What does it mean to have been on the Kepler team?
Well, it's been a very exciting number of years because I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, now in the past few years, not just in our lifetimes, we've been answering really age-old questions about how common planets are in our galaxy and how many of those might be habitable like our own Earth.
How complicated is the technology of Kepler in that it is really trying to detect circlings of stars by planets using shadow measurements and these sorts of things? The malfunction relates to the fact that we can't point it accurately anymore. Describe the technology and the uniqueness of Kepler itself.
Well, what Kepler is an enormous digital camera, effectively. It's a telescope in space. And on the back of that telescope are the kind of detectors that you would have in your digital camera. But what makes Kepler really special is that it's not just one detector, but it's many of them, and it's a relatively large telescope. So it's able to take very, very accurate pictures.
Well, another thing that's special about Kepler is that it turns people like Neil deGrasse Tyson into just maniacs of passion about what Kepler could possibly have contributed. Listen to him talking on our program a couple of years ago.
It's specially tuned to look for planets that are orbiting other stars, but planets that are small enough that could rival the size of the Earth. So all the earlier work was important for establishing that other star systems exist, but Kepler is the one that's going to bring us in the Holy Grail.
So did it bring in the Holy Grail, or is there more Holy Grail to get, and do we need a Kepler 2 now, Matthew?
Well, Kepler succeeded. It found a large number of planets and planet candidates, planets that are the size of the Earth, and planets that are in what we would call the habitable zone. Now, what's really disappointing is that, you know, Kepler wasn't able to continue that mission and find more planets that would be habitable, planets that are much more like our Earth.
So I can hear the sadness in your voice. I mean, this really is bumming you out.
Absolutely, absolutely. But there is some hope, and that's that to try to continue with Kepler, you know, people will pull out all the stops to try to think of ways to continue to use this spacecraft. But there's also another spacecraft in the works that will look not just at a single patch of sky monitoring those stars, but we'll look across the whole sky looking for transiting exoplanets.
So what's going to happen in Washington, you know, with the NASA budget, et cetera? I mean, is this the kind of malfunction that causes people on Capitol Hill to go, that was a complete waste of money?
I really don't think so, because by every measure, we can point at Kepler as a huge success and money well spent, you know, answering a question that's been asked for thousands of years, and you know, the answer to which excites many, many people.
But what went wrong? I mean, why couldn't you make it work longer? I mean, those little Martian robots work, you know, for years after their warranty expired.
Well, so just to be clear, you know, the Kepler mission was originally 3.5 years, and Kepler has gone for well over 4 years. So it exceeded any initial expectation. What went wrong is basically one of the reaction wheels, a second reaction wheel, failed, and it makes it not, you know, makes it impossible to precisely point the spacecraft anymore. But that's something that's planned in the sense that it's much more expensive to make a mission that lasts forever than a mission that meets a specific lifetime. So in that regard, it's really, you know, it would be arguably a waste of money to make a spacecraft that never fails.
All right, let's talk about the results, the sort of happy side here. What is the difference between one of the 135 confirmed planets and the 3,500 possible planets? And where does the research go to put more into the confirmed category?
Yeah, that's a great question. Almost all of those 3,500 candidates are actual planets. The extra work that it takes to do what we would call confirm or validate is to rule out all of the other, you know, possible things that could masquerade as a transiting extrasolar planet. And by that, we want to make sure that it's actually a planet and not some small star. And to do that, we have to really measure the mass of the thing that's passing in front of that star, to make sure that it actually has the mass of a planet. And that requires either additional work with the Kepler data or work using additional telescopes.
Finally, are you guys and the folks at NASA doing what, you know, we hear on Star Trek, you know, putting these candidates into classifications? It's a G4 planet or a class 12 planet, that sort of thing?
Well, we're really trying to decide whether they would fit into the category of habitable or not. And by that, I mean, do we think that the planet would have liquid water anywhere on the surface? And does that planet have a solid surface? So we do that by categorizing the stars. We know, you know, how hot the star is, and therefore how hot the planet would be. And that's really the kind of classification we do.
And that's a good beginning, habitable or not, water or not. Matthew Holman, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Matthew Holman is a Smithsonian astrophysicist and a lecturer at Harvard University, has a PhD in planetary science, and was on the original Kepler mission team. Coming up 2 years after the start of the revolution in Egypt, the country seems farther from stability and democracy than ever before. We want your view on the deteriorating situation in Egypt. Tell us.
This is Dennis from New Jersey. We have such a good opportunity in the Middle East to make the image of the United States much better. People in the Middle East identify all together. So if you help one country there, you improve your image with all of them.